we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
Patent troll sues to prevent COVID-19 testing. Privacy concerns continue amid the pandemic panic. Can the internet handle the load if the entire world works remote? And got a GPU crypto miner? Then repurpose it to help fight the coronavirus. All this and more on Access of Easy, number 138. Hey everybody, Mark Jeftovic here with another edition of Access of Easy for the week of March 23rd. I'm taping this on March 24th, and this is episode 138. So the show notes for this week's edition will be on easydns.com/podcast/138. And as I said, we're pretty close to launching on accessofeasy.com, so be ready to follow us there. It's at accessofeasy on Twitter or nojack.easydns.ca/accessofeasy on Mastodon. Let's do the quotes. Last week, the quote was, there are decades when nothing happens, and then there are weeks when decades happen. So I thought it was Lenin, as in communist revolution Lenin in Russia. And everybody thinks it's Lenin, but it turns out that it may not have been Lenin. That could be apocryphal. And one of our users said that the closest match is that it was a letter from Engels to Marx, or the other way around. Anyway, we gave the contest to two people. The first person who said Lenin was James Candon, and then it was Luke McCarthy who sort of educated us on the basis of that actual quote. And this week's quote is, where did I put it? Tomorrow belongs to those who can hear it coming. Remember the rules, no searching it up online. First person to post it to the show notes page gets their next domain or web hosting renewal on us. So I have to apologize. This issue is almost all coronavirus, but it is kind of the elephant in the room right now. But we will cover it as best we can. So if you have a GPU crypto miner or other spare processing power, you can repurpose it to help fight the coronavirus. What you can do is task your graphics card or other CPU, or like I said, a crypto miner, to contribute towards calculating molecular folds for a distributed computing project to find, to help hone in on a vaccine for coronavirus. It's similar to the way distributed computing works for, blockchain and crypto mining, or the old search for extraterrestrial intelligence, SETI at home, which is still going strong, actually. So this one is called Folding at Home from Pand Lab at Stanford University. It's been going for 20 years, and you can donate your spare CPU and GPU cycles to sort of like a hive mind to calculate these things. You can pick which disease you want to crunch. The choices are anything: Alzheimer's, cancer, Huntington's, or Parkinson's disease. If you set that to anything, it's going to devote those cycles towards molecular folding for coronavirus. So I just installed it on my laptop. It was quite easy to do, and I do have an Ethereum mining rig back at my little podcast den, which I'm not there today, but when I get there next, I want to switch that over to this project as well. And so the links to get that are on the show notes page, but we've set up a Team Easy DNS. So if you want to get involved in this and then join a team, form a pool, we've got, the team is named EasyDNS, obviously, and our team number is 248-458. So feel free, the show notes page takes you to the links, and then you can just install the client and join our team, and away we go. All right, patent troll sues to prevent COVID-19 testing. So Oh, God. Anyway, SoftBank, the company that funded WeWork, you know, another one of those unicorns that basically destroyed a lot of capital for no good reason. They also, SoftBank also funded an outfit called the Fortress Investment Group. And you may recognize that name because Fortress once asserted that they could represent a monkey in a copyright infringement case. Tech Dirt calls it the monkey selfie case. So they recently acquired the patents of Theranos, another glowing paragon of virtue. They crashed in disgrace and the founder still faces federal charges. So Fortress has the Theranos patents. They spun off a shell company called Labrador Diagnostics LLC, which seems to have just been created for this purpose. They put two of the patents from the Theranos portfolio into it, and then they launched a patent infringement lawsuit against another company called BioFire. And what's BioFire doing? They're working on a COVID-19 testing kit. So that is the state of patent trolling today. That you can just, you know, don't get me started. I've had to deal with a patent troll in the past. And anyway, privacy concerns amid the pandemic panic continued. We were talking about this last week and possibly the week before. At what point does a pragmatic response to an unprecedented situation overshoot and turn into an oppressive authoritarian power grab at the expense of your rights and privacy? I think that's the defining question of this age. Quoting from the article we're looking at here, pervasive surveillance through digital technologies is the business model of Facebook and Google, and now governments are considering the web giants' tools to track COVID-19 carriers for the public good. End quote. So there's a lot of these kind of data points popping up all over the place that speak directly to this privacy versus expediency dilemma. So in India, they're stamping the hands of suspected COVID carriers with indelible ink. These are people entering the country. If they think that they may be infected, they're stamping their hands with indelible ink. In Israel, the prime minister basically granted himself sweeping new powers to eavesdrop on Israeli citizens' telephone calls. Under the guise of combating COVID-19, police officers in Spain are using drones to yell at people who are breaking quarantine. Businesses struggle with what they can ask their employees about their health in a crisis like this. And for a while, just sort of tangentially, Facebook was blocking all posts about coronavirus across the entire platform, and then they came back and said that that was a bug in the system. But another item, same sort of ballpark, Turkey arrests 64 citizens because of their social media posts about the virus. So in Turkey, they're tracking down people suspected of making, quote, baseless and provocative posts about coronavirus, end quote, on social media. And in some cases, they're arresting them. So far, 64 citizens out of 242 suspects have been detained by Turkey's Interior Ministry. In this one, it was bound to happen. The U.S. Justice Department orders the takedown of their first coronavirus scam domain. I've already seen a few coronavirus-themed domains that are using drive-by malware installers to infect the devices of people who unsuspectingly visit the sites. The U.S. Justice Department has issued its first restraining order against parties unknown who are operating a fake coronavirus vaccine website. And we've mentioned we've got a new tool called DomainSure, DomainSure.com, and it can track phishing sites in real time, like the creation of a phishing site on your brand. I've been using that to track coronavirus themed domains. I just want to sort of take the temperature and the pulse of what's coming on. I think coronavirus has been registered in every single delegated TLD, and then there's all these variations like vaccine, cure, test, whatever. So it's it really spawned a cottage industry in scams and spam, and you got to watch out for that. Can the internet handle the load if the entire world works remote? So I was trying to organize an online meeting for a community group I belong to last week, and I heard through the grapevine that both Zoom, the free level, and Skype Canada crashed, I think it was on Thursday, under the load. I was trying to set up a free account on WebEx, and I think they're throttling the addition of free users into that system. I ended up going with a premium account. And, you know, these systems, again, the free levels are getting overloaded. The paid levels, you're in a centralized system in somebody else's walled garden. So what we're working on here, we're creating online collaboration tools that you can set up web conferences, audio bridges, video conferences, and collaborative messaging on a virtual appliance under your own domain name that you can control. It's your data. It's encrypted. We can't read it even if we wanted to. And we are moving as fast as we can on that, and we hope to have it out pretty soon. But on this topic of, you know, the entire world working remote, Netflix announced that they're going to be reducing the bitrate of their streaming to Europe for the next 21 days just to reduce the load on the global internet during the pandemic. And if you're wondering how we can hold up EasyDNS under the strain of all of this pandemic business, you can read about our coronavirus preparedness statement a little later on. I'm going to get to that. Welcome to the jackpot, four possible post-pandemic scenarios. So my latest piece over on guerrilla capitalism is I look out past the pandemic and I try to see what's on the other side. Personally, I don't think that there's going to be some kind of return to normalcy. I think we're going into a new normal, and I look at what four possible scenarios for that could be. Worse than COVID-19 is DKE-19. It's sweeping social media. So I saw this post on Medium last week, and it was making the case, using a lot of graphs and numbers and data, that the coronavirus panic is just one big nothing burger and a hysterical overreaction. And, you know, I have to admit, I was, you know, found myself hoping they were right, because I would really love to be able to believe that. But then I look at, you know, Italy and Iran, and I think, well, you know, maybe not so much. I think the facts on the ground are the facts on the ground. But this Medium post was written by a self-described growth hacker, you know, basically a guy that uses big data and metrics to rapidly scale up a startup. And, you know, drew a lot of ire and a lot of criticisms, people saying things like, you know, debugging JavaScript does not make you an epidemiologist, which is true. So this other Medium post looks at what they call DKE-19, the Dunning-Kruger effect, ravaging the populations of people outside the medical profession during this pandemic. And it's a pretty funny read. But on a serious note, that original Medium post was taken down by Medium. And, I have issues about that. The post, for one thing, was rapidly archived on archive.is, so they didn't get rid of it. Zero Hedge ran the post, so it got an even wider audience. And, you know, what Zero Hedge did when they ran the post is eventually rebuttals came to the fore that sort of rebutted and refuted what this guy was saying in the article. And Zero Hedge took a link to one Twitter thread by a medical professional who took the article apart point for point, and they just pinned it to the top of the article on Zero Hedge, and they said, look, the guy who wrote this article is not a medical professional, and it's been rebutted by this person over here who is a medical professional. And I think that is a far more sensible way to deal with the prospect of non-conforming content than anything else. Because as I wrote in my book, Chapter 4, Does Deplatforming Even Work? It doesn't. When you take something down, you just feed the fire and give it a wider audience. The obligatory EasyDNS coronavirus preparedness statement. So, you know, normally when every vendor under the sun is sending out the same email to you, we try not to pile onto that and send you our coronavirus preparedness statement in this case. But you may actually be wondering how we're set up and how equipped we are to deal with this. So we have posted one to the website. It covers, personnel, it covers infrastructure, it covers our financial footing. So I think you'll see that, you know, we're well positioned to deal with this, more so than a lot of these gigantic tech unicorns who are going to see their funding dry up and they're burning their cash, and I wouldn't want to be in their shoes because the next few months are going to be pretty brutal. It's going to be a pretty bad downturn. I did find one non-coronavirus-related story that's actually fairly optimistic that I thought I'd stick in here. It was supposed to be in last week, and I forgot to put it in. Activists use Minecraft to stash banned books in a virtual library. So in some parts of the world, media censorship is a lot more blatant and heavy-handed than here, and some citizens are blocked access to material, certain sites, websites are blocked, journalists are imprisoned, or worse. So a group of activists from Reporters Without Borders figured out a way to sneak that material past the censors by hiding them in an online library embedded within the virtual world of Minecraft, which is not blocked in the same countries that are doing a lot of this journalism censorship. So the RSF Uncensored Library sits on an island within the virtual world of Minecraft, and it can be downloaded for offline use. One last thing, if you're trying to get virtual, a lot of businesses and individuals you're being forced into a position of working remote and running your companies as fully remote organizations, and it may come naturally to a lot of us already in tech and adjacent areas to tech, but it's not always easy. So if you haven't been planning for this eventuality and you're not sure how to transition to remote teamwork, we might be able to help out. So we're working on tools, as I mentioned earlier, to make that easier for you to run distributed remote companies and to do it while retaining control of your own data and identity. And you can help us deploy this faster by telling us exactly what it is you need to be able to function effectively, what your challenges are, what your pain points are, what your bottlenecks are functioning as a remote virtual organization or transitioning your existing business model into an online one. So just email me, markjr@easydns.com. That's Mark with a K, jr@easydns.com. Just tell me what's going on with you, and we'll see where that intersects with what we're doing. Okay? The show notes, once again, for this week is easydns.com/podcast/138. Please stay safe, please stay healthy, and take care of your loved ones. See you next week.